Chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. We'll read verses 7 through 9. Very familiar passage. Did anybody read a proverb a day this past week? Miss Linda did. Praise the Lord. Everybody else needs to get right with the Lord and do it. Just kidding. No, you. It's a great thing to do if you can. You don't have to, obviously, but I promise you, you will not regret it if you do it. But Proverbs chapter number 1. If I could find it, we'd get started. Proverbs chapter number 1, verses 7 through 9. As we think about the beginning of wisdom. The beginning of wisdom. And as we look at our world today, there's a lot of educated people, but there's very little wisdom because there is very little fear of God in the world around us. It's very easily seen. And we see here in this passage of Scripture before us tonight how that fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So let's read here. Proverbs 1, verses 7 through 9. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck." And may the Lord add a blessing to the reading of His Word. So four things and I'll be done. Number one, we see first the fear here. The beginning of verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." The word fear there means reverential awe. There isn't much of that in the world and sadly even in the church today. That's a question that we all need to ask ourselves. Do we fear the Lord? Not necessarily are we afraid of Him, although if a child of God has got sin in your life that is undealt with and you don't plan on dealing with, that person should be afraid. But what we're seeing here is reverential awe for God. For Jehovah God, reverential awe for Him. And well, as I was thinking about this, you want to see what kind of fear of God you have. How do you feel about your sin? Because someone that fears God, I go back to Isaiah in Isaiah 6. In that moment, he was in absolute awe of God. Saw Him for who He was and where He was at. And he literally said, "I'm falling apart at the seams." See, when someone, everyone in here, and many, many if not most Christians would say, "I fear the Lord." Well, how do you deal with your sin in your life? Read the Old Testament. See how God feels about sin. Every once in a while you'll see God, what feels like is punish someone for a rogue deed like Uzzah, I believe it was, when the ox cart wobbled. All he did was try to stop it, caught it, touched it. God struck him dead on the spot. You say, "Well, that's a little harsh." No, that's how God feels about sin. And we see that all throughout the Bible, all throughout the Old Testament. Every once in a while, God will unleash His wrath and remind us, "That's how I feel about sin." And when we have a proper fear of the Lord, we will hate our sin. We will. And that's why so many Christians today have sin in their life, and it doesn't seem like they care about it as much as they should, because they don't have a big view of God. Because you get a big view of God, you put Him where He should be in your life, you will naturally hate your sin because you'll see Him and you'll see you. So we see the fear. That fear is reverential awe. So it says here, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So first, didn't mean to say it that way, but fear is first. If you're going to get wisdom, basically learn how to live the Christian life, live in a manner that pleases God, it all starts with a proper reverence for God. No child of God will ever be what God wants them to be until they get a proper perspective and reverence for God and who He is. Fear is first, but also fear is the focus. It is the goal. It says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, or the principal beginning. Fear of the Lord really is the goal of our life, is to fear the Lord. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse number 13. It says there, let us hear the conclusion of the whole. He says, fear God and keep His whole. Is to fear God. Reverential awe for God, who He is. So fear first. That's where it all starts. You want wisdom? Get a proper reverential awe for God. Fear is the focus. That's the goal. But fear will fuel our Christian walk. Get a proper fear of God, then we will live like we should. We will. And that's once again why so many Christians today are not living for God. Like times in my life when I haven't lived for God as I should, is because I didn't have the proper fear of God that I should. See, when we have a proper fear of God, reverential awe for God, when we see Him as Isaiah did, high and lifted up, the thrice holy God, we see Him for who He is, we will naturally. What did Isaiah say? Woe is me, for I am undone. The Lord came and touched him with the coal of fire. And then the Lord said, who shall go for us? Who shall I send? And immediately, here am I, send me. He got a glimpse of God. And then what did he say? Hey, I'll go. So many Christians today, myself included in my many times in my life, sitting on the bench, sitting on the sidelines because they're not looking at God as they should. I'm putting God where He needs to be, myself included, too many times, and I would like to admit. But when we have a proper view of God, the fear will fuel our walk. That'll be our sole desire, to be obedient to Him. So it says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Then we see number two, not only the fear, but we see the fool. It says there, but the fools despise wisdom and instruction. The word fool means to be perverse, silly, having or showing a lack of common sense or judgment, absurd and foolish. So that is a fool. And it goes on there, it says, but the fools despise wisdom and instruction. The word despise, to disrespect utterly, hold in contempt, hold as insignificant. So why does the fool despise the truth of the Word of God? Because that's what wisdom is. Why do they? First, because the fool, number one, the fool's dead. It's referencing here, I believe, a lost man or woman. And that's why it's such a sad thing that so many Christians today, they're living like fools. I had before too. You say, well, I don't despise wisdom and instruction. Well, do you know the truth of the Word and yet you don't live by it? That gets me so many times in my life. But a true fool is a dead man. It's somebody who does not know Jesus. The Bible says dead in their trespasses and sins. The fool is dead, and because of this, secondly, the fool despises. First, the fool despises comprehension. It says there, but fools despise wisdom. Fools despise understanding. Fools despise what this book has to offer. A lost man or woman, this book, I mean, there are really educated people that know a lot of information about this book. But as I've heard so many people say, they're as lost as a ball in high weeds. They don't truly, they can't truly understand it. And really, they don't desire it because they can't. They're dead. They desire it as much as a corpse in a wood box in the ground desires it because they're dead. They despise comprehension and they also despise chastening. It says, and instruction. That word instruction means chastisement, reproof, warning or instruction, restraint, discipline, chastening, correction. See, a child of God, that has a proper fear of God, when the Lord takes you to the woodshed, it will produce a change and a stronger love for God. But a lost man or woman, that's not what it produces. It just makes it worse. And we see, as you read in the book of Revelation, you would think when the judgments of God are unleashed on the lost world that they would repent. They would turn to God. But what does it say? It talks about how they curse God. It got worse, not better, because they're dead. They despise comprehension. They despise chastening. So the fool is dead. The fool despises. And the fool will be destroyed. They're going to die and they're going to go to hell. And that should break our hearts. That's why it's our job to plant the seed of the gospel in the heart of the fools. Because they're dead. And the only thing that can bring them to life again is the good news of the gospel. And the good news of the gospel can only bring them to life again if the seed is planted. If we keep it in our pocket, if you have a field full of fertile soil, but you keep the seed to yourself and you don't sow it, what good does the seed do? So we see the fear, we see the fool. We see number three, the fix. How do we get a proper fear of God so that we can receive the wisdom of the Word, the instruction, the correction, the chastening of the Word, and mold us into what God wants us to be? Well, the Bible says, the law of thy mother. This isn't a catch-all for every child saying, listen to what your mom and dad says, because some mom and dads are not saved. The focus is here, listen to the instruction of the father and the mother in the sense of when they share the word with you, the principles of Scripture. That's what's being referred to here, the word of God. And if we're going to get a proper reverential awe for God, then we've got to do, I love what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, you can go there, you don't have to. I love this Scripture, you all know it, most of you probably know it by heart. Takes a minute to turn there in this little Bible. 1 Peter 3, verses 14 through 16. Very familiar passage. Bible says, but and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Instead of being afraid or troubled, what should we do? Instead, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. That means make Him big, lift Him up. He cannot get any greater or any more powerful or any more holy, but He can in our hearts. He sure can in our hearts by us seeing more of Him. Why do you think the devil doesn't want you to read your Bible? Doesn't want you to pay attention at church when the message is being preached, listen to sermons on the radio or podcasts? The devil fights that because he knows that is how you sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to everyone that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience that whereas you speak, they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Sanctify the Lord. That's what we need to do. That's the goal. Sanctify the Lord God in our hearts. How do we do that? Number one, it starts with salvation. Remember, the fool's dead. Wisdom cannot be attained by a fool, a lost man or a lost woman. They're dead in their trespasses and sin. It begins at salvation. And if you're saved, you have access to the wisdom of God. And the Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. It's offered to us if you're saved. It begins with salvation. But then there must be surrender. It says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Who here has either been the child and or had a child that thought they knew best. Me. I've coached baseball at middle school and high school levels, even t-ball. Guess what? There's always a player or two that thinks they're the stuff and that you don't have nothing to offer them. Well, guess what? I'm no help to that player. So I kind of just, okay, you do it yourself. You don't want to listen to what I have to say? I can't. I'm no help to you. We got to surrender and say, Lord, I'm willing to do it. Just show me. So you got to be saved. You got to surrender. Then there needs to be saturation in this book. Saturation in the Scriptures. That means no part of us. Saturation is every part is completely covered. It's like we fully immerse when we baptize. We need to be fully immersed in the Word. That's how we get a reverential awe of God. Salvation, surrender, saturation. Four ways to saturate ourselves. So number one, read the Bible. So simple, but so hard to find time to do if you're not careful. Read the Bible. Next, ruminate on the Bible. Meditate on it. Consider it. Study it. See, there's a lot of confusing things in the Bible if you just read it and don't study it. And you could be led, a million different ways down a very dark hole. So we got to study it. We got to pray and ask the author who lives within you to help you understand it. And he will. Read the Scriptures. Ruminate upon the Scriptures. Respond to the Scriptures. Don't just gather information, but then adapt your life to what the Word says. Get things that it says get out. Do things it says do. Live it. And as you're living what the Bible says, and you're reading of who God is, and then you're living a faithful life, you see God be faithful, it will increase your faith in Him and sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Another reason why so many Christians today do not have a big view of God, because they're not stepping out in faith and living the Christian life and letting Him show Himself faithful. He wants to show Himself faithful if we'll let Him. Read, ruminate, respond, and rely on. Cling to the Scriptures. But you got to know something before you cling to it. That's why it's important, like the Bible says, hide it in our hearts that we might not sin against Thee. So we see that's the fix. That's how we develop the reverential awe. Saturate ourselves in this Word. It says there, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. The instruction and the law there is the Word of God. So we see the fix, and we see number four, the fruit, and then I'll be done. Verse 9, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. So we see first the goal here, and we talked about it, apply the truths of the Word to our life. Salvation, surrender, saturation, and live it by God's grace. We apply that to our life. When we apply it to our lives, people around us, saved and lost, will notice. They'll see. I mean, look what it says there. It says, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. I mean, think of whatever you like. In my case, I'm thinking of this moment right now, somebody carrying a brand new goatskin Bible. I'm like, locked on that. And before I leave that place, I'm going to go ask them where they got that from. Or maybe a lady with jewelry or shoes or a man with their gun, something that just catches your eye, like a piece of clothing that you wear. When people are applied the truths of the Word of God and live a life of wisdom, people notice that it is acknowledged. And when it's acknowledged, it is admired. I believe the Proverbs talks about a righteous man maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. I think it says something along those lines. People will notice. People will admire us. And I want to point out, this does not give us an opportunity to be prideful. But instead, when we live a life of wisdom, with a reverential awe for God, this does give us an opportunity to proclaim the gospel, which is the goal. Live a life that people notice. They see you living a godly life, like you've got a really nice hat or a really nice necklace on, a really nice suit. They see it. They notice it. And I believe like somebody seeing a really nice shirt or tie or whatever it may be, they say, "Whoa, ooh, where'd you get that? Where'd you get that at?" They come to us as children of God and say, "How do you act this way? Where did that come from? I know the old you, but now you're different. Why is that?" They notice. Like they notice like you're wearing an ornament of grace upon your head and chains about your neck, and it gives you an opportunity to tell them about Jesus, which is the goal. But we're never going to meet that full circle like God wants to until we get a reverential awe for Him. But when we do, we'll be like Isaiah, and there'll be no hesitation, but just pure desire. Say, "Here am I. Send me." That is the beginning of wisdom. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord Jesus, for Your Word. May You give us the grace to saturate ourselves in it and to get a proper reverential awe of You. And then the byproduct will be a strong burden to be obedient to You and to live in the manner that pleases You and to point people to You. Please help us, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, ma'am.